So yeah, I'm Katie, and I'm part of the team here at Encounter, and we're going to be starting a new series of talks tonight, which is very exciting. And so I just want to give you a bit of a clue as to what we're going to be talking about. So, Ben, that's not a clue, but that could be a clue. The video, the song. I'll sing it instead. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. There you go. There you go. Brilliant. Great. Thanks, Ben. Great. Okay. That's a good song, isn't it? I like that song. Anyway, but it's such a feel-good song. And why does it feel so good? I think it feels good because everyone wants to be happy. That song is called Happy, just in case you actually don't know and were wondering why I was doing what I was just doing. Everyone wants to be happy, and we're always chasing after it in how we use our time, in the decisions we make, whether that's changing a job, revising for an exam, or buying our mum a birthday present. Ultimately, we're always looking to increase our happiness and perhaps that of the people that we care about. So isn't it funny then that happiness and joy can be so elusive? When we spend so much of our energy trying to get it, yet for many of us, whether we're Christians or not, it can be a real struggle both to find and to keep hold of joy in our everyday lives. Who here recognizes that actually they need more joy in their lives? So this is what we're going to be looking at over the next few months. We're going to be looking at joy. What is joy? Where can I get it? How can I make it last? What does it mean to look for joy? Now, I've been pondering this a bit over the past few weeks as I've prepared for this new series. And I don't know about you, but when I'm doing a lot of thinking or preparing for something, kind of like you guys when you're revising for an exam, I find myself drawn towards the chocolate aisle in Tesco. It's just around the corner, which is very handy. Can anyone relate to that? Anyone ever head in that direction? Thank you. There's a nod there. So I went to Tesco. And imagine my surprise when I went to unwrap my bar of smooth, chocolatey goodness and found these words on it, which will hopefully appear on the screen. It said, "Scan here for joy." Great, I thought, scan here for joy. There's no need to spend 3 months talking about how to find joy. The answer is right here in golden purple. Who knew that the way to happiness lay in chocolate after all? So I think we should do this. I'll scan here for joy. Get my phone. It's the only time it's okay to use your phone in the middle of a talk. So, okay, I have scanned, and you won't be able to see this, but it's come up with a thing that says swipe for joy. So I've scanned for joy, and I'm going to swipe for joy. Now, you won't be able to see what happens when I do this. So instead, we're going to show it on the big screen. This is what comes up when you scan here for joy, Ben. Sorry, I think it's really funny. So anyway, yeah, who wants a bar of chocolate? Okay, do you want to share it around while I'm talking? You don't have to, no, but it would be nice. Great, okay, so there you go. How do you feel? Do you feel joyful? I don't think anyone can deny that video brought us some joy. It certainly brought me some joy when I was watching it in the week. Jason thought I was crying. But I certainly saw some smiles and laughter, and that is a wonderful, precious thing. Playing on the PlayStation with your friends, seeing a movie, dancing around to your favourite song, eating chocolate, it is good to have fun. And God wants us to enjoy the things that he's given us. Laughter really is good for the soul, and it is wonderful to laugh together. But is that really what we're looking for when we say that we're looking for joy? A few seconds or maybe hours of amusement that actually will soon fade. I think really we know that true joy goes a bit deeper than that. We're looking for something that will keep us going on good days and on bad days. Something that can keep us going in the face of all the really awful stuff that's going on in the world at the moment. Something that can bring us hope and peace and security. So where are we to find that kind of joy? but our culture and the media give us all sorts of ideas about the things that will make us happy. Now, I wonder if you've ever had any of these thoughts. If I can get the right grades, I'll be happy. If I always make the right decisions, I'll be happy. If I can change onto that other course or other job, I'll be happy. If I can have a bit more money or that new game or that latest fashion that all my friends are wearing, I'll be happy. If I can get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or even get married, I'll be happy. If I can get into that friendship group, I'll be happy. If I can get fit, I'll be happy. That's a massive one in our culture at the moment. And you'll probably notice that most of these things are good things. It's good to do well at school. It's good to be happy in your job. And it's good to be fit and healthy. But if we're making these things the source of our joy, if these are the things that we go to for comfort and security, and by the way, that's what the Bible's talking about when it talks about idols. If we make these things the source of our joy, then we're putting ourselves on very dangerous ground. Because ultimately, all of these things will let us down. Some come to a natural end, like the joy that we get from going on a holiday. I'm sure many of you have had that recently, and it's wonderful. But it does end, and term starts again. Some things just change, like that job that seemed really good at the start, but has now become just as stressful as the one before. Or that lovely dress that was really, really in fashion, but now lives at the back of the wardrobe, because, frankly, no one's worn that since 2013. And some of these things rely on people. And we all know, don't we, that people aren't perfect. We aren't perfect. We make mistakes. We mess up. And relationships change anyway. You might break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend or just leave home and not see your parents as much anymore. That person that you rely on to bring you joy or comfort, they can't be there all the time. So each thing lets us down, and this is where anxiety starts to creep in. Now, I think anxiety is kind of like anti-joy. It goes beyond a natural nervousness before an exam or an interview. It's like someone's putting a wet cloth over any sense of joy, and all you can see is this thing, whatever it is, that's making you anxious, like a wall in front of you, and you can't see the other side. I wonder if anybody has ever experienced that. And I think if we're living with this anti-joy in our lives, then we know that we've got a joy problem. And actually, if we're honest, it's not just good things that we go to for joy either. Sometimes it's bad things too, things that when we allow them into our lives, get a hold of us and threaten to choke us, like pornography or fear of what people think of us. And these things, they not only let us down, just like the good things do, but they actually start to poison us. They tie us down into cycles of guilt and fear, as well as anxiety, and there's no joy to be found there. So it turns out that neither the good things nor the bad things can ultimately help us in our quest for long-lasting joy. Where does this leave us? Desperately going from one thing to the next with the odd quick fix, like a video of a weird dog thrown in, and anxiety moving in to stay? Or is there another option, something that can offer us a true, unshakable joy, unaffected by our circumstances? Well, let me tell you about this man. So this guy is a guy with a difficult life. He's been in and out of prison for years, and not for anything that we would recognize as a crime, by the way. He's been badly beaten, left for dead more than once. He's even been shipwrecked. Has anyone here ever been shipwrecked? No. He's been rejected by his own people and those he tries to help. He often faces lack of sleep, lack of food, and even lack of clothes. And yet this guy is overflowing with a joy that he just wants to tell the world about. He wrote in a letter to his friends while in prison, "I'm rejoicing, and you should rejoice with me." How is that possible? How is it possible to be joyful in those kinds of circumstances? Well, actually, he writes about his story in this book here, in the Bible. And before we go on, I just want to say that this book has real answers to real troubles. It's not just a random set of rules. There are real stories about real people with real problems in here. And it does bring us real hope. So we're going to turn to it now to find some answers to these real questions that we have about joy. Now, this guy that I was talking about, some of you might have realized, his name was Paul. And he also wrote Ephesians, which is another letter in the Bible that we looked at last term. And it's another of his letters that we're looking at today to another church, and the letter's called Philippians. And as he writes this, Paul is in chains in a Roman prison with no comforts or friends around him, and the threat of imminent execution hanging over him, all for the crime of speaking out about Jesus. And he writes these words in chapter 4, verse 11. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So he's saying, I've learned to be happy no matter what. Isn't that what we're looking for? Something deep and unshakable. I've learned to be happy no matter what. So what is this secret? Well, Paul goes on to say, I can do this, meaning I can be happy in all circumstances. I can do all this through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. Through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. So the secret is Jesus. The secret is Jesus. For Paul, Jesus was the firm foundation, the place of comfort, the source of joy. The truth of what Jesus had done for him just spilled out into joy. I don't know if some of you were here last time when we looked at Ephesians. And Ephesians begins with just an explosion of praise, where Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And he goes on. Because Paul knew the truth. He knew that because Jesus had come to die for him, to deal with all the wrong stuff in his life, and there was a lot of wrong stuff in Paul's life, he could have a relationship with God that was secure and unshakable. He could be holy and blameless. He could be free. And it's all in Christ, that phrase that he used over and over again, or through Christ who gives me strength, as he says in Philippians. But what brought Paul joy was so much more than just the head knowledge of what had been done for him. It was the actual relationship itself. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus, of knowing Jesus. And when Paul says that it's all through Christ who gives him strength, you can see how real and dynamic this relationship actually is. It gave Paul the strength to live through all those awful things and still be rejoicing. Actual, real strength that made a difference in his life. And it's our relationship with Jesus that enables us to do the same, to have unshakable joy, even when our lives are difficult and the world is filled with tragedy and horror. Because this same relationship is available to us. Jesus promises us in Matthew 28:20 that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And he does this through his Holy Spirit, who comes to live in us when we choose to follow Jesus. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can know Jesus' presence, know his strength, know his peace, know the reality of a relationship with the living God and the joy that comes from that. That same Spirit that gave Paul the strength to be joyful in all things lives in us today if we follow Jesus. So relationship with Jesus is everything. And I want to ask you, do you know Jesus today? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? And if you don't, I'm going to pray for you later. And for those who do know Jesus, who do have a relationship with him, I want to ask, are you spending time with him? Time in his presence? Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me and I will give you rest. And he talks about how those things that are weighing us down and stealing our joy, he will carry them for us. We just have to come to him. So are we coming to him on a daily basis? So it's all about this relationship with Jesus. It's all about seeking his presence. And I'm just going to share one very practical way that we can seek his presence. So I was talking to a friend who realized recently that her struggles with anxiety were as a result of finding her joy in the wrong places. And she's been on a journey rediscovering what it means to find joy in Jesus. A big part of her journey in pursuing joy has been and continues to be the art of thankfulness. The art of thankfulness obviously helped Paul too. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, he writes these words: "Do not be anxious," so we've got that anxiety in there, "do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God," with thanksgiving. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So there's this thing where he's saying that there's anxiety here, but when we're thankful, when we take it to Jesus and we're thankful, that anxiety gives way to peace. Peace that goes beyond all understanding. That peace sounds a lot like joy. So a good place to start in your pursuit of joy is learning to practice the art of thankfulness. If we want to pursue a relationship with Jesus, we really do need to be spending time with him every day. And I really want to encourage you to do that, to set aside a few minutes each day to hang out with Jesus, to read the Bible, and to pray. But the art of thankfulness is not just for those few minutes. It's for every part of your day. So, for instance, take all those good things that you want to go to for joy, the friends, the exam results, the boyfriend or the girlfriend. Take those and those wonderful moments when you just can't stop laughing. Instead of making those things the source of your joy, recognize that they are good gifts from a loving God and thank him for them. Lift your eyes from the gifts to the giver and make him the source of your joy. It's also about learning to see God in the things all around us, whether they're big or small. It could be the awesome complexity of the solar system, or it could just be the simple feeling of the sun on your face. Often for me, it's the flowers peeking over the fence in people's gardens on the way to work. I just see them, and I just think, that's so beautiful. Thank you, God. And I promise you, I enjoy those things. I get so much more joy from them just from going, thank you, God. That's amazing. Sometimes there will be days when you're really struggling and the good gifts seem hard to find. But even if all you can think of to be thankful for is the breath in your lungs and the fact that tomorrow is a new day, lift your eyes and give thanks. And the Holy Spirit's power living in you will help you to do this. It's all about that change in perspective that constantly giving thanks gives us. As we lift our eyes from ourselves and the gifts to the giver, we're able to see the bigger picture and how God is at work in everything. We're reminded of his beauty, his power, and his amazing love for us. It helps us to fall in love with Jesus again and again. As my friend pointed out, constantly thanking God and lifting our eyes to him is an easy way of seeking his presence in each moment. And as we see how sweet that is, the more we want to seek it. And as it says in Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence there is fullness of joy. In his presence there is fullness of joy. And so we see that actually seeking God's presence through thankfulness, through deliberately making time to be with him, seeking God's presence is seeking joy. Now, living a life of joy is a journey. I don't think anyone has it fully sorted. Everyone has days and even whole lengths of time when joy seems far away and it's actually a real struggle. And Jesus never promised that following him would be easy. In this world, he said, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This is something Paul knew very well. But he also knew the wonderful truth, which is that in all our pursuit of joy, in Jesus, joy had come to find us. The God of all joy had given up his joy and exchanged it for our sadness. The Bible talks about how Jesus emptied himself of everything, including his joy, and took our suffering on the cross before rising again and leaving us with his Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus is special. Only in him does joy come looking for us. Only he can offer us life and life to the full. So we're going to journey on this together over the next few months, looking at questions like, how can I have joyful relationships? How can I be joyful when awful stuff is happening? How can I worship with joy, even when I've had a terrible week? How can I experience this life to the full? And we're also going to be sticking with Philippians as we explore more of what the Bible has to say about finding our joy in Jesus. So as we come to an end, I just want to ask you a really important question. Whether you're a Christian or not, where are you finding your joy? Where are you finding your joy? It might not be immediately obvious. Think a little deeper than just, what do I really enjoy doing? This is more of a question of, where do you go to for that really deep sense of security? Where do you go for comfort when things are tough? What would make your life not worth living if you lost it? So we're going to spend some time listening to God. We're going to spend some time in God's presence. Remember, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So the next kind of period, we're going to be spending time in God's presence and seeking him. But for the first bit, I just want us to focus on this question. And the band are going to play quietly. And as they do, just spend some time asking yourself, where are you finding your joy? And I'm going to just pray to God and ask him to come and speak to us. Oh, Father, thank you that you are the God of joy. Thank you that you have come for us. Thank you that in you is fullness of joy. And Father, we just want to spend some time in your presence now. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be moving among us, speaking to us about where we're finding our joy. Sometimes the answer to that question might be a little painful to hear, but I pray that you would help us to really be honest with ourselves. Please be speaking to us in this time.